Hello again. It's 3 p.m. on a Monday, and this is The Time. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be questioned about what you're doing, how you're doing it, and when it will be done. You're also going to reap rewards you never thought existed. It's the duality we face being a creative, someone who either is professionally or personally sharing their skills with others in a form of art or service. I'm Vittoria, some call me Red, most call me V, and I'm your time alchemist. I'm so glad you're here to join me today. I wanted to continue talking about those boundaries from the last time we connected and how we can implement personal ones into our everyday lives so that we can find harmony within the professional ones. Ironically, I think this part has come easier for me to create personal boundaries for myself rather than the business-oriented ones, because the conception of working for myself as a virtual assistant came from the boundary in itself, that I no longer wanted to spend most of my waking time not taking care of my mind, body, or soul. At that time, I wasn't able to tend to a lot of my medical needs, working 40 plus hours a week, and I knew that moving forward, I never wanted to have a corporation dictate how I take care of myself. From there, it became easy to outline what that looked like for me, like how many hours a week would I want to and be able to spend with clients that I took on. How many clients could I take on at one time, and what did I want to offer to my clients? This is in line with how I utilize scope creep, working backwards in projects from bottom up, figuring out what needs to be done to get the job done. With that same thought in mind, how do I visualize what I want my boundaries to be in my personal life as a creative? I think a great exercise to use as this prompt would be, if I had no restrictions in my life, what would my life look like as a creative? It's definitely a popular manifestation technique, writing out your desired life as if it was like already come into reality, which one, gets you hyped up for what can be, and two, the details help you create boundaries so that you can get to where you want to go. So if you're just chilling at home right now while we talk about boundaries, I encourage you to spend some time with yourself, pause this podcast, answer the prompt either on a notepad or on your note app. What would my life look like as a successful creative if there were no restrictions? Please know that success looks different for everyone. Like me personally, I don't consider Bezos as a successful person, but to Bezos, I'm sure he really does think he's successful. So again, this is a subjective, purely personal thing for you to take on and really fantasize how you see that life for you. Are you guys still there? Okay, hold on. Okay, did you finish? Totally okay if you're keeping this for later, by the way. You can, of course, listen on, but maybe re-listen to the second piece when you have written out your answer, because I think it would be helpful as a reminder to ground us before we get too high in the sky. I can't remember where I got this analogy from, and I know it's another analogy, but whatever, suck it. Where it's a couple and it's like, one is the kite flying high in the sky, breezing along in the wind, going crazy every which way. And then you have the other person in the relationship who is the string holding you steady, grounded so that you don't fly too far away. That's how I see boundaries for creatives, especially personal ones. I'm a victim of that creator high where you get so caught up in the excitement of a project, a new vision, that I have forgotten major pieces to protect my well-being. So in honor of that, here are a couple things I wanted to make kind of clear as far as personal boundaries are concerned. You need to invest in your development outside of work. I spend most of my Mondays as self-admin creative days where I track spending on both of my bank accounts, schedule any type of appointments, whether it's like oil changes or doctor's appointments, and then the rest of the time is spent designing, editing, creating something pertaining to my growth. Nothing to do with clients. This is one of the biggest reasons why I advocate for a 4-day work week, because most of the tasks I set out to do on my Mondays are ones that I can only be arranged during a weekday. And if you have more than just you to manage, that shit takes a lot of time to get done. And I'm talking about, like, you can't go to the bank on a Sunday. You have to go to the bank on a weekday. So that's a Monday task. I've never been to a doctor's appointment on a weekend. So again, that's going to be a weekday task. Like, not only do I have to call during the week, but I also have to attend a thing during the week. So again, takes a lot of time. And that 4-day work week should totally be implemented. you know, rant over. So for now, though, if you're working a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday, what I ended up doing during that time before was I started waking up earlier so I could call whomever I needed to schedule appointments. So, you know, I had an hour. 8 a.m. is usually where a lot of like doctors open, even earlier than that. So I was able to like call before I go into work at 9. Or I would use like some of my lunchtime to do the rest of like administrative kind of to-dos, schedule appointments, emails, you know, look at spam, whatever may have you. Whatever your schedule looks like, I think it's really important, if not absolutely necessary, to squeeze in even 30 minutes into your week to take those calls, check your finances, and invest in your growth in some way. There really is no excuse, even if you do have an excuse, like you have absolutely no time. This is like where I'm going to be a little bit salesy, even though it's free. Please schedule a one-on-one with me, because one, I'm absolutely curious just because I'm a time freak. And two, I want to help. I seriously do. So with that aside, number two, or a second point, you need to separate validation from your worth. It's no secret how impactful social media can be on mental health. Again, there's how many people in this world? That is so many people having an opinion on your work, show up, and create. If that's not enough, you also have your clients, your family, your friends who may have a thing or two to say in the latest thing you're doing. When you're the sole representer of yourself, it can be daunting not to let every piece of engagement, positive or negative, dictate your self-worth. Now, I am not saying to never take any feedback into account, because constructive criticism is key to being a successful entrepreneur. But that feedback you receive shouldn't change how you view yourself, how important you are, and your value. Remember that at the end of the day, this is your experience and your business, both literally and figuratively. Okay, this next one I think is really important, especially because it's the one that I struggle with the most as, you know, an entrepreneur, small business person, is you need to guard your emotional energy, my guy. Seriously, this kind of ties into the validation and self-worth thing, but also adding that a lot of people will tell you and suggest you to take on projects or clients because it'll look good or pay good, or that money is money. I'm saying this after taking on those clients, and I want to tell you that money is not worth your sanity. Think back to our kite and string scenario. We need to try and balance out both. With the lucrative projects, it's so easy to get sucked in into the hype of it all. But does the project and or the client do these four things? Okay, first and foremost is, do they align with your personal principles? And this goes even for the people who prefer to have a structured like 9-to-5 Monday through Friday job in place of like the entrepreneur small owned business job. So I still think it's important for either of those things to align with you personally, because okay, whatever, it sounds tacky, but we are here for how long? We don't know. I could be gone tomorrow, knock on wood, seriously. But I don't want to spend my time working for something I don't at least mostly align with. I mean, I personally, there are certain companies today that I would never want to work for based off of who owns them or what they represent or how they treat their clientele. Like, that's just who I am personally. You know, that's not something that aligns with me. And I don't think I would give them the best job. Like, I wouldn't produce the best for them if it's something that I don't fully align with. And I know there's always going to be times where we're like have to do things that we don't want to do, but if we can try and find ways where we don't have to use that as our option all the time, I'm obviously going to use that as an alternative. So respect yourself enough to at least see like, okay, if I'm going to be doing this project or if I'm going to be working with this company, you know, do they stand for what I believe in personally? Okay, yes or no. Do they stand for what I believe in economically? Yes or no. And then go off down the line. If there's like more no's than yeses, I think you should really reevaluate if this job is really going to be good for you, because you're going to end up hating it and you're going to be back at square one. That's just from experience. Two is, do they align with your professional principles? Something that we kind of talked about in the last episode together is those professional boundaries. You know, are they going to respect you when you put your phone on airplane mode after 5 p.m.? Or even if you don't put your phone on airplane mode, like if you don't respond to them after you told them you're not available, are they going to get upset at you? Are they going to bombard you with a bunch of weird texts and phone calls? You know, that's a principle that you need to look into and see, hey, are they going to respect my time? Are they going to respect me as a person? Because if they don't respect you professionally, they're not going to respect you personally. The third thing I would say is, does this have potential in supporting you in your goals? And this could be directly or indirectly. I would say indirectly as an example would be, you know, obviously the regular transaction between services and monetary gain, where it's like you pay me for my time and I use that money for either buying a house or, you know, classes or whatever may have you. Directly is if like you have a client who wants to sponsor you or put stock into something that you're working towards, whether that be schooling or your business in itself. And that's totally an option too. The fourth thing I would say, and one of the most important ones, obviously, is does it bring you joy?
Because duh.
If one of these things is not in line, then you need to either drop it or dive deeper into what you will and will not accept, aka your risk tolerance. But guarding your emotional energy also consists of knowing when to rest. It's so crazy to me that I still have to talk to myself, like through slowing down and taking breaks when I need to. Even Blake has to help me. Like after not working in a fast-paced environment for over 5 years, between working at Starbucks, Dutch Bros, the hospital, I'm a trained horse in American workforce. You hear me? Now that I don't have to mind 2-minute rush times or run to patients while they're coding or manage more than just myself and my client to some degree, I do have a hard time not feeling guilty that I'm not doing enough. Or that I'm lazy when I'm not always busy with my work. And that's a me thing, a validation self-worth thing. And this kind of circles back to like that question of like, oh, what do you do for a living? And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what to say. But this is something that I have learned over the years of, you know, working for just myself instead of like big corporations and even small business shops too, because they're essentially working from their experience off of corporations, is that I've put my worth around my work instead of the other way around. With those Monday self-admin days in place, though, it has been really helpful for me to relax on my days off. And when I've reached a stopping point in my clients' projects, I do try and use that extra time for self-development or rest. Like right now, doing Spanish, which it has been going well, but still has its challenges. So circling back to our answers and when we read them of what our dream life would be as a creative, do they align with your personal boundaries? If the only commendation you noted was of others, are you respecting your self-worth? Or if you wrote down that you would become debt-free, what strategies will you implement to achieve that? When? Whatever answer you gave yourself is your outline of how you create your personal boundaries. Essentially, personal boundaries ensure you stay inspired and connected to your creativity, while professional boundaries make sure you don't get exploited in the business world. I really enjoyed breaking this down into two sections. I think sometimes we just really have to get up in there and dissect our lives. If you want to stay connected, please follow me on all my socials like Instagram, YouTube, but most importantly, I would love for you to take some time and subscribe to my newsletter on my site, which is the link in my description in all of my bios as well, so that you can skip out on the algorithms and get real updates on my podcast episodes, article features, and more. Until next time.